Amen. Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing today? Praise the Lord. Y'all enjoying this beautiful light of the day that God's given us? Now, it's going to be 100 degrees outside. So, as I preach long, you will appreciate it. Because if you get out there in that heat, Sister Baldwin said, no, we won't. Amen. It is good to be in the house of the Lord today. Good to be with you, dear folks, this time. Amen. I appreciate all that the Lord has been doing with the messages and challenging hearts and challenging lives. It's good to be here. My wife is here with me, as always, if she wouldn't mind standing. That's Sister Betty back there. Amen. And praise the Lord. We had the privilege of having some folks follow us up all the way from Georgia to be with us this morning, to include Sister Shasta, one of our church members. But we have some other ladies. Where they at? Praise the Lord. I was trying to get them all in here, and I paid several people to say that they came up for me, and they didn't show up either. Amen. Shows you, if you don't give them enough money, they don't show up, brother. But we are excited to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Our pastor is going to be out of John chapter number 3 this morning. But let me give you some caveats about some things. Pastor Mike had given out some assignments and things like that. And he gave suggestions and he gave verses and all that was completely devoted to helping us to see and understand that we are the children of light in a dark time. Amen. And all kinds of issues and challenges, how we have to have fellowship and the right kind of fellowship. And one of the passages he pointed to was a passage over there in 1 John chapter number 1, where they talked about that we are supposed to be having fellowship in the light. And that passage came up with, and it put a picture in there that says, you know, if we say that we have fellowship with him, and he's talking to brethren here, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Amen. We lie. And one of the things, because it was all about that, you know, he said we should have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And Dr. Gibbs pointed out something last night. He said, all the actors are not in Hollywood. He said we have more actors in the churches than we have in Hollywood. Amen. And what they're doing is there's a persona out here where we are putting up or displaying a light, but it's not real. Amen. Now, let me give you a quick illustration and then we'll get into this passage. If you look outside, the entire area is illuminated by the light of God. Amen. It's there. But inside, we have these things called canned lights. Amen. These canned lights, unlike the light outside, you just can't shut it off. Amen. But the canned lights, you could turn it off. It's controlled by human instruments. Amen. We could turn it up. We could turn it down. We could turn it on. We could turn it off because we're in control of it. Amen. And by the way, much of our service anytime, and especially in these last days, is just like that. It's controlled by humanistic methodologies. Amen. And as we go to see these things, God says the last thing we should be is, as Pastor Kenny Simmons pointed out, luminaries illuminating canned light. But that's what we have a lot of going in our society right now. Just illuminated canned light. Amen. And so God began, he gave me a passage area over here. And he says, he gave me the subject matter. He said, I want you to talk about morality or immorality in these last days. Amen. And I thought, wow, why would he give me the hard one? Well, I got everybody else's, you know, be the joy of the Lord. Let the light shine, do all these other things. He said, now, I want you to tell them how dark it is out there. And as we was going through some of the other things, bear with me just for a few more seconds, they kept saying, dark represents evil. Dark represents evil. Did you know it wasn't too long ago that was one of the reasons why they used us and enslaved us? Because they said we were dark, we were black. And we didn't even have souls. We represented evil. Black cats. Everybody's scared of a black cat. Black cat, cross your path, go another way. Just kick the thing. It's a cat. We grow up kicking cats, you know. But we still have challenges with that stuff because I don't know about y'all, but, you know, I go into some of the communities, my own neighborhoods, with my own people, And when I get in there at night, I ain't getting out the car. But it's not because of the people. It's because of the times. So I want to do something real quick. Let's stand together and let's read in John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. Bear with me. John chapter number 3. And wow. Praise the Lord. John chapter number 3. We're going to start reading in verse number 1. It said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus, watch these words here, by night. And said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knoweth not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Father, we do love you and thank you today for your grace and mercy. We thank you, Father, for all that you've done, Lord, and all that you have prepared throughout eternity, Lord, to bring us to such a time as this. Lord, there is much darkness going on in the world. And Lord, it is terrifying, Lord, when we see the amount of darkness that's out there. But Father, I thank you, Lord, that even you, as you promised through the word of God, that darkness is light unto you. You can see what's going on, and you've laid out the pattern, the platform, Lord, that we all may see it and know that it is indeed exciting times to be a Christian. Because, Lord, it's telling us that our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And so, Lord, we're looking forward to what you're going to be doing today. As far as I'm concerned, Lord, as me, I need you, Lord. I ask that you empty me of self, Lord, because I am a prideful being. I need you to fill me with your Spirit because I am an empty being. And, Lord, I need you to use me according to the Savior's request because I am a needy being. Take charge of me today, Lord. I want to be your servant. And in all things, Father, I want us to all get to the place where we can understand what thus saith the word of God. And we're going to be careful to give you the glory, for we praise you and love you in Jesus' name. And for his sake, we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning, folks. I very rarely, if ever, do this, drink any water up here. And it's pretty good water, too. Probably that bottled New York City tap water. Amen. Folks, as we're coming down here, there's a lot of preaching that's going on, showing and sharing the light, amen, and the fellowship in the light. And all the messages were designed about that, to make sure that we get back into this long-forgotten process, a long-forged process of soul winning, getting the gospel out. And as we get into these times, and Dr. Gibbs brought it out last night, that we are living in some exciting times, but the Bible also tells us we are living in a time that is according to the sovereignty of God, as Pastor Sieber brought out, according to the sovereignty of God, is already ordained of God. These conditions that you and I are experiencing have been ordained by God. And I'm going to give you a reality. You and I may be involved and be able to get involved with witnessing and seeing a few more saved, but this place is already condemned to darkness. Amen. It's already done. We are living in a time where, as the Bible says in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter number 5, we've come to the place where we are calling dark light and light dark. Amen. And we're coming to a place where they say we are living in the age of enlightenment. And we've got this thing called the progressive movement. And we think that they are, and they're portraying themselves as helping you and I to be progress into the age of enlightenment and intolerance and all of these things here, that we might be more accepting of things. But actually what you're doing is being conditioned to see and get used to the dark. Now, I don't know about y'all, the darker sometimes, if light suddenly left, it would be so pitch black that you couldn't see anything. You couldn't even see your hand in front of you. But if they gradually reduce the illumination of the light, amen. And by the way, isn't a strange thing? They got this thing out there, this movement out there of darkness called the Illuminati. Amen. As they gradually reduce the incandescence of the light, when they bring it down, all of a sudden, it's getting darker, but we're getting used to it. And we can see like everything is all right. And we think, hey, I got a handle on this here. And by the way, the darker it goes, the shadows disappear. Because it blends into the rest of the darkness. And the more you and I get used to it, and by the way, we're getting indoctrinated into it in every aspect. Some people go to these movies and things like that, and the old Marvel comics, they came out there, and they used to have the Thors and the Batmans and all that, and just recently they've been coming out with this whole series of movies. You get the Thor, he has the Dark World. Batman, the Dark Knight. You got Star Trek. I'm a Trekkie. I like going into outer space every now and then. Beam me up, Scotty. They had to go into the dark. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know the name of it because I'm a Trekkie. I didn't go to the movies to see it, so don't look at me and say, oh, he's a heathen. But some of you did tell me what it was about. Amen. But they, into darkness, and everything is taking you further and further and closer to the darkness. And you and I are getting used to it. We're getting used to it. And God says, wait a minute. He said in the last days, he said, walk. Jesus said in John chapter number 12, right? He said, walk while you have the light. Amen. Because he said, let me tell you something. The light's not always going to be with you. We say, well, wait a minute, I see a lot of good things in the light. You say, you got to be careful because the deceiver, the adversary, the devil, amen, he is able to transform himself into that which he was once created to be, the angel of light. And he said, and his entourage, amen, are also able to transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. And so you look around here, you say, well, man, this thing here, it looks like God's power and his plan is moving. But in fact, it's the devil guiding you into further darkness. You know, Romans chapter number 1 began to try to warn us about that. It started with evolution when they changed the glory of God and made it into an image of corruptible man, four-footed beast, and creeping thing. If you read further down, it went from evolution to devolution. What are you talking about? All of a sudden, the men began to leave the natural use of the woman. And then, and all of these things, it got worse and worse and worse. Amen. And it got so bad, and I think about it, they're trying to get us to accept now this, and I'm not here for a political agenda, this LGBT. And they're trying to get us to make sure that these bathrooms are equipped for them. Now the military just made this accommodation, and now they're gonna have special uniforms for the LGBT. Is that what it is? For that community. Now, by the way, can I give you something? The military created gender-neutral uniforms. That meant that they looked ugly on everybody. I don't care if you were male or female, it made you look ugly. It made you look frumpy. Amen? Well, now they got to go out there and develop a new uniform for these folks. And now churches, they say, and in places, they said you have to have a bathroom for the LGBT crowd. I got to change my bathrooms. Now, by the way, what happens when you only got one bathroom? I found out that we were able to use that same bathroom as you only had one in the house. Guess what? Ladies and guys use that thing. Amen. We learned how to accommodate one another. What does that mean? When the ladies came in, they put the seat down. When the men came in, or they finished, they lifted the seat up. It wasn't a difficult process. Amen? And if you failed to put the seat down when you got finished, men, and a lady went in there afterwards, you got reminded. I'm so messed up, I got my own bathroom, and when I leave out there, I put the seat down. Ain't nobody going to use it but me. But I got trained that from a young age. It's kind of a weird effect that we've been given here, because now we have to make these things available for them. So what do? Do you leave the toilet seat halfway in case they want to be a man or a woman this way? Kind of lean on the edge? But we, folks, you and I are being conditioned that is the new norm. That's what we need to expect. That's what we need to live. Your churches, they're talking about legislation, by the way. It's an amazing thing. We always say you can't legislate righteousness, but they're very effective at legislating unrighteousness. And we vote for it. Think about even the choices we got right now. They got lying Hillary or lunatic Ted. And we in this room are going to make decisions. And none of it's good for us. But let me encourage you. Your vote ain't mattering. You know why I say that? Because God's going to set who he wants to in it. This is not out of God's control. Amen. This is all according to God's court. I was talking to our folks not too long ago, and I mentioned a subject about this whole thing, about this transgender and the bathroom issues. Do you know, it's not the girls who want to go into the men's room. It's the men who want to go into the girls' room. Amen. I don't see one lady saying with a sign, I want to use the urinal. I want to use the urinal. If the truth be known, most of them think men's rooms are very disgusting. And they stink. Because guys, we're so busy trying to be guys, we don't even realize what we're doing. And they pee all over the wall. I'm just saying. They don't want to go in those nasty places. That's why they don't want to mess with the toilet seat. Because they used to have that sign, if you sprinkle when you tinkle, please be neat and wipe the seat. Those ladies don't want to go in those men's rooms. And they're so filthy, I understand why men don't want to go into the men's rooms. But folks, when it all came down, they don't want to get in there. It's the men. It's a perversion aspect. We're living in some really dark and abysmal times. Amen. And it's exciting times, because the Bible says when you see these things begin to come to pass. Amen. Look up. Lift up your eyes. For your redemption, what? Draweth nigh. And the darker it gets, the more you and I need to be ready and embrace for the light that's going to shine through and burn this darkness away forever. In our passage over here, we have some of the greatest truths preached in our churches that has ever been recorded by one person in one place. We get the truth of, ye must be born again. You know, we'll preach over there sometimes in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 in those areas where it deals with the tongue issue in 14. And Paul said, I had rather speak 5 words with mine own understanding. By my voice I may teach others also than 10,000 words. Zechariah in an unknown tongue. And I came up with those 5 words. Ye must be born again. With those 5 words, you can get to heaven. You must be born again. John chapter number 3. Amen. Some of the other areas where it talks about that the Holy Spirit, how it works, the Spirit bloweth where it listeth. Boy, and we preach marvelous messages about the liberty and the unity of the Holy Spirit of God as it moves through areas like wind. You don't see the wind, but you see the effects of it. A life changed here, a life changed here, a church changed here, a family changed here, a nation changed here, a community changed. You can see the effects of it, and it's awesome. Absolutely awesome. Oh, we see passages over there that we get encouraged about. The famous one, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. These are staple foods to us. But in that same passage, and it's easy sometimes, we stop at the good parts. But sometimes you have to address the bad parts too. Because he said, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. They don't have to do bad things to go to hell. They're already on their way there. And aside from the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ who saved us, you and I were on that same path. Amen? Y'all with me so far? He tells them they're condemned already. And then he says, and if you wonder what's their condemnation is not that they're drunkards. Their condemnation is not that they're homosexuals. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us something. He said, you know, it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than it is for this generation. They said if Sodom and Gomorrah had seen what you and I had the privilege of hindsight to see, he said they would have repented long ago. That's hard to believe that they, who got utterly destroyed, were better than us. They had a fellow over there by the name of Lot, who was a righteous man, but he got absorbed into the darkness. He got to welcoming people into Sin City. Amen. And everything was fine. He welcomed them into the daytime, but when the angels wanted to stay out, they said, we're going to stay in the street. He said, oh, no. You can't stay out in the street at night. You can't be out at night. No. When it gets dark, you can't be out after dark. The freaks come out at night. You don't want to be out here at night. Come to my house. But we forget. They know where you live. They know where you live. So they made their way all the way over to Lot's house. And then they began to want to push their agenda on Lot's family. Now Lot's family had already been ruined because he lived in that condition. He had daughters and daughters that was married to some of the men of Sodom. He had 2 other daughters that had not known man, but he was willing to sacrifice them. And when it was all said and done, even though they got taken out of that environment, because just changing your address ain't going to make you any better. We changed their environment. Sodom and Gomorrah had already done its damage. There was no rescuing Sodom and Gomorrah. Pastor Kenny, so many years ago, preached a message, don't take nothing from Sodom. I believe something like that. Boy, we've taken a lot from Sodom. And the Bible said in the New Testament that when it came down to Lot, it said it vexed that righteous man's soul. Vexed his soul. Now, God called him righteous. You and I, we remember the caveats. Remember Lot's wife. If Lot had his way, he'd have still been in there trying to convince people to get out. Still been in there trying to win some of them. Still trying to rescue some like we are doing. And they had to literally be snatched out of there, raptured out of there. So God can affect his plan that he came down there with a premeditated purpose to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And folks, we are living in that age of darkness right now. We're trying our best to reach as many as we can, but the truth of the matter is, the rapture's about to happen. We're about to be snatched out of here because the darkness has come to the place that for the most part it has overwhelmed the light. And I can tell you right now, there's not a born-again believer whose soul is not vexed every time they see and hear what's going on. And if your soul is not vexed, God says it's time for you to wake up. It's high time. The night is far spent. It's high time that you wake up. Amen? That's where we're at. And he said it's going to be more tolerable for them than it is for us. Back over here, just remember this here. We look at and we pick and we piecemeal. We take things out of this passage. But you got to remember that this was an impromptu meeting with Nicodemus and Jesus. Jesus didn't plan it, but he didn't. It wasn't like he caught him off guard. Man, I tell you what's the truth. If you just come back later, I'll get my notes together and I'll be ready to talk to you. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, which is ironic because night came to light for insight. What are you talking about? Here he comes at night. He's religious. Y'all, I don't know if y'all heard this here, but the Pope, not the Pope of Atlanta, the Pope recently put out an article in the paper that says the church owes the LGBT community an apology. An apology for how we've treated them. How dare you, mean, loveless children of God, call those people an abomination just because God did. How dare you say that their activities are against nature just because God said it? As Pastor Mike put it the other day, if you don't accept it, something's wrong with you. How dare you say that we can't have the right to kill babies on a wholesale scale? It's the right of the woman. Abstinence is the right of the woman. Purity is the right of the woman. When those boundaries have been violated, consequences are no longer the right. Amen. But we've legislated it. Our courts have validated it. So it must be right. It's the law of the land, but it's not the law of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And so, and by the way, all of this is happening because Christians are still in bed. They're still asleep. We wake up with the night crawlers. We hang out with the dark. And they begin to enlighten us to foolishness, and we seem to find some type of familiarity with it. As I was saying, he comes to Nicodemus, or Nicodemus comes to him, and Jesus gives all of these things, but it's one continuous conversation that the Lord's having with him. It's not a whole bunch of chopped up things, you must be born again, and for God so loved the world like we do it. This is one continuous session. And as he's going through that session, he comes back there and he brings him back to some realities. Let me show you something real quick. This ain't going to cost you nothing, but look at John chapter number 12. Now he already told Nicodemus that just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man must also be lifted up. Amen. John chapter number 12, he says this, verse number 30. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but because of what? Your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be what? And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself. Now, by the way, the reason why all men are not being drawn is because we're lifting up programs. We're lifting up what we call progress, but we're not lifting up the power of God. They're not seeing Jesus. They're seeing us. We're in the way. Amen. We are blocking the light. Did you know that you could take a penny and you could put it close to your eye and you can get it close enough so it will block out the light of the sun? Folks, as you're going down through here, read the rest of that with me. He said, this he signified, what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And they're curious, but watch what he says. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the what? Is the light with you. And he's trying to give us this parenthetical warning too, but we didn't heed it. Because we started getting used to the dark. The rapture has to take place and it will take place. He told us to look for some things. Look at the rest of that. He said, walk while you have the light. Lest what? Darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whether what? While ye have light, believe in the light. That ye may be the children of what? The children of light. But the light's not going to stay here. The light was already designed to turn off. You and I were already scheduled to be raptured out of here. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I hate to say it, but sometimes we help facilitate it. The church by doing some of the things or not doing the things we were supposed to be doing. Now, back over here to John, just a little bit more. He's telling them all of these things, and then he says, let me tell you something. He said, I'm going to tell you what the condemnation is all about. The condemnation is not about all of these other things. He said, this is the condemnation. Amen. This is what condemns them. He said, he that believeth not is condemned already. And this is the condemnation, verse number 19, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Now, folks, welcome to the dark ages. We prefer it this way. Man, it's too bright. Let's turn down the lights to get more of an ambiance. Amen. A finessed environment. We prefer the darkness just a little bit. He said, why do they prefer the darkness? He said, because when you look down to it, he said, they prefer the darkness because their deeds were evil. The deeds were evil. In our political arena, everybody's trying to get the upper hand on the other one, not by uncovering their light, the successes. They're trying to find as much dark on them as they can. And hopefully you'll prefer your dark, their dark, over the other person's dark. But both of them are dark. Amen. We're trying to find the person who has the least unfavorables. All of them are awful. But let's try to find, and we use this phrase a lot, the lesser of two evils. Why is it that we're trying to choose evil? But we've been put in an unwinnable position that you're going to have to choose and try to find the lesser of two evils. Now, what we should be doing, if I have to make this categorical change or challenge, I should be looking at the Word of God to find out who is a product of the lesser of two evils. But God can no longer be a part of this because God has wrote them both off. Y'all, and just a few more moments here. As we're going through these things here, and you and I are getting accustomed to the dark, we begin to justify our darkness. Well, the reason why it's so dark in here is because the light is off. Wow, that's really intelligent of you. Praise God. I got an idea. Why don't you turn the light on? By the way, how many of y'all, when y'all were getting ready to get into your evil, get into your sinfulness, and by the way, don't look at me like I got two heads. All of us have a dark side. And I'm not talking about those of us who have the dark side also on the outside. All of us got a dark side. All of us have sins and things in our hearts. If you didn't act it out, it doesn't mean you didn't think it. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. How many of y'all ever thought, man, if I had a gun, I'd kill him? He said, if you had those thoughts, you just got the sin of it. You know? So we all have these dark sides. Amen. It used to be when we were younger, when we wanted to date real hard. Amen. You get that person in there, get them in the room, you take them to the movies. You know why they take them to the movies? It was dark. We always want to sneak out and go to the dark. What are y'all waiting for? I'm waiting for it to get dark. When we get dark, I'm going to put on my party clothes and I'm going to go out in the dark. Some of us got saved, but some of us still kind of got an affinity for the dark. Now, he said, the problem is they didn't want to come to the light, and you and I who have the light. Now, keep this in mind. This is the religious guy. He's supposed to have the light. He's supposed to be promoting the light. But in fact, he's just as much in the dark as everybody else. So he's giving these insights. Christ is actually telling him what he needs to do. And you and I are getting in on that conversation. He said, here's one of the problems you got, Nicodemus. He said, your deeds are evil. You know how the Sanhedrin is acting. You know how those Pharisees and those Sadducees are acting. You know the oppression that they have on the people, calling yourselves being the people of God. You know all of these things. And yet you operate in it like that's the way it's supposed to be. Church, you knew what you should have been doing when it came down to standards. You knew what you should have been doing. I was hoping brother, what's the name, was going to be here. Brother Gibbs, he preached a message about 1,000 years ago. And he was 40 then, 50 then. He preached a message dealing with conviction or compromise. And when he preached that message, it was such a powerful, he said, I'm going to put you on trial. And I'm going to let the world judge you based upon what you called a conviction and what we find out is a compromise, actually conviction or preference. Amen. What you consider a preference. He said, well, you want your children to do this, you want your children to do this. And then he asked him a question. Do you have a television? Do you know that you can't find one program on TV that does not have in its feature presentation, its feature cast, a homosexual? Not one. At one time, people think, man, Ellen Degenerate. Now she's one of the mildest of them. They are flamboyant. And I don't mean to, I'm not hating the sinner. Because the Bible says that some were effeminate and things like that. And he said, and such were some of you. I'm not hating them. I'm hating the sin. And now we're being silenced not to speak about the sin anymore. Because it's politically incorrect. And by the way, I'm really in trouble at our folks, because when it comes down to it, I have to be honest. When it comes down to some of those things, we broadcast. And they could come and look at ours at any time and say, look at this. Look what he said here. Look what he said here. Look. And my wife keeps saying, honey, you got to be careful about what you said. You got to be careful, not what you said. You've got to be careful how you say it. Amen. Because the moment they see, and they're looking for opportunities to pounce on the church. They're looking for opportunities to say, we're going to do more worse to you, a lot, than these other guys. Folks, as he comes down in here, he said, this is what's going on. Everyone that doeth evil hateth what? The light. Why? Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, exposed. The light shine on it. Amen. Somebody mentioned something about going to a restaurant that was dark. And as they was eating the food, and it had problems anyway. But then when they turned on the light, they realized, good night, I was eating in this filth. I was eating in this place here, but it's okay as long as it's dark, because you can't see what's going on here. But when they show the light, then you realize, and by the way, by the time they turned the light, by the time they turned this thing upside down, where they turned dark light and light dark, good bad and bad good, amen. We started with our slang, man, that's bad. And we people, yeah. You know, it used to be bad was bad. We've turned it around so we're bad. It's not only good, it's cool. Sing songs, who's bad? Don't laugh at me, y'all know the guy. Y'all looking at me like, oh, don't, just sit straight, look straight ahead. Brother Holsey probably even knows that guy, you know, yeah, I'm bad. Folks, he said they're deeds. Now, I'm not going to give you, I'm just going to throw some things out and I'm going to stop here. When it comes down to these things, because all through the Word of God, Christ begins to tell them. In Isaiah 50 verse 20 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. In one passage over here, it talks about, in Psalm 82 verse 5, he said, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, and listen to this, all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Everything. We don't know what the family is anymore. You know, I kind of like God's plan for the family. I kind of like the guy, the man, and the woman aspect of this thing. But and by the way, I liked it when I got old enough to understand it, and I wasn't even qualified for it yet. When I got 13, man, those girls started looking, whoo, gotta have me one of them. It made me change my whole manner of life, amen. I went peacock on them, you know, hey, here's a girl. I didn't have to learn it in school. Didn't have to go to buy none of that stuff. I mean, it just happened. It came out of me. Now, you know, now we got whole campuses full of girls and one over here, a whole campus full of boys, and they looking over there from the campus, and I'm not saying the place where it's at, Morehouse. They got whole campuses. Spellman, where the girls are looking across the quadrangle at the boys, and many of them think they don't have enough a chance with them because the boys are looking at the boys. This course, this world is out of course because of this darkness. We don't know what the family is anymore. Amen. We don't know how to handle finances anymore. We supplement laziness. I mean, the Bible understood. Christ said the poor you're going to have with you always. Amen. They're going to be here. Amen. But he made a provision for them. When you go out there and glean the fields, leave the edges that the poor may come over there. I ain't going to give you the poor. That's why one of the most beautiful passages in the Bible of courtship comes when Ruth comes over there and Boaz gives her hands full on purpose. You know, when Ruth went to that field, she didn't go there for hands full on purpose. She went out there to glean and work. We got a society of lazy, shiftless, entitlement people. And most of it was raised in and through and accepted by the church. Under the guise of love. He said, this whole course is out of whack. Amen. When this happens, we embrace this out of course world. We find that we also come to the place where we see nothing wrong with what's happening. He said, let me tell you something. He said, their deeds are evil and the light needs to be shown on. And I'm glad that there's a call to arms here for the children of light. Amen. Because you're going to have to find out something. By the way, if you see nothing wrong with it, you have a problem with it. You know what Jesus said? He said that your eye is the light. He said, and if that light be darkness, how dark is it? When Christians see nothing wrong with it, when those of the children of light have gotten so accustomed to the dark, and we don't realize our darkness is much greater than theirs, because our darkness is intentional. Our darkness is intentional. We close our eyes. Amen. It's one thing to be blind. It's another thing to close your eyes. The light of the body, Luke 11:34, is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. He says in 11:35, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. When I was coming up 1,000 years ago, we had something called black lights. Isn't that a contradiction of term? Black light. The two opposites. And when you would turn on the black light, amen, it put this eerie, bluish glow. By the way, forensics use this here when they want to discover blood. Amen. They spray a luminescent material around there, and the black light illuminates blood, illuminates. It glows. Amen. When we used to turn on the black lights, everybody, you know the old cliche, don't shoot till you see the white of their eyes. The black light would expose the white of their eyes. And it will also expose every bit of lint, any white material, any light material. It would always show up under the black light. But dark, black, would never show up. Amen? And we used to be in there, and you could see everybody whose clothes was not what they needed to be. And everybody whose eyes, what they wouldn't, and their hair, you could see all the lint, you could see everything. And we loved that environment. We couldn't wait to get to an eerie environment. But that's what we thought we could get our best party on. And it's a shame that Christianity, for the most part, is living under the illuminescence of a black light. You can see the whites of their eyes, but the rest of their deeds. It's not till you turn on the light that you realize what is going on. Folks, you can look down here and you can see the character of darkness. You can see the convictions about darkness, how they vote for it. The corruption in darkness, the confusion of darkness groping around. The conversions of darkness. I'm going to get you as close to me as I can, because that's what the devil does. The conversion of darkness. The concourse, and I use that word because the Bible said, what concourse has light with darkness? Christ and Belial. They're not in fellowship. When true light comes, darkness scatters. But it's not gone forever. It's just gone until the light goes out. Well, Brother Halsey, we'll put them under a candle, under a bushel, and we'll hide our light. He's not talking to sinners. I mean, unsaved people. Ye are the light. Ye are the light. The concourse of darkness. He said, I need you to understand the contrast with these things here. You are not supposed to be children of light. We're supposed to be walking like children of light. We're supposed to be taking off the dark deeds of the night. We're drinking and revelings and all that stuff. We should be taking all that off. And we should be walking in the glow of the Lord. This world is ending. It's ending. It's through. It is a tale past told. It's over. Look at the end of the book. It tells you that. He told you, look at the end of the book, look through the book, and it'll tell you the end of the times. It will tell you exactly where we're at. And folks, if you don't believe that we're there already, then how dark is the darkness in us? If you believe, and I'm not a doomsday person, if you believe that this thing can get better, let me encourage you. You are in serious darkness. And by the way, it's not because God's out of control. Every last part of this is part of His plan. Amen? You may think you're voting, but God establishes. You're not going to legislate God out. But He said, you know what? In the last days, He said, when the Son of Man comes, will He even find faith on the earth? Do you think we're there? Do you think we're there? A lot of gods out there. People will blow up themselves for their God. Amen? We won't live for ours. We got people throw the Illuminati sign up and people follow it. They'll throw it right back up. It used to be back in the day they used to throw up the sign of Satan. Amen? Where they put their hands together and they do that. Now they put their hands together and do that. And the sad thing about it is our children learn that. Our schools right now are incubators, indoctrination centers for evil. Start it simple. Just say God doesn't exist. Just say God is man. Now man doesn't even want to be man anymore. We're in a sad state, folks. We're in some dark times. Nicodemus, you think it's bad now. You wait. You wait. Church, we're living in some hard times. But the exciting thing is, when you see these things begin to come to pass, y'all getting happy? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I heard the trumpet. My bad. My bad. I'm sorry. Yeah, you further down now. Look up. Lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. Father, you know our hearts. You know our lives. You know we have need of Lord. You know the day and the time in which we live. Father, so much darkness. So much darkness. Lord, it's so evil. It's so dark out there that even the worst Christians offer a bright spot. And Lord, the worst thing about it is our children are being indoctrinated into it. But Lord, one day, night came to light for insight. And Father, you showed them that this is going to be the condition of the world when it's over. Darkness changing the course of the world. And Lord, we find ourselves in that place now. Lord, help me to be the brightest light I can be in these dark times. Lord, we can go out there and reach more and more and more people. We're not going to sit back and say, woe is me, and just sit in the corner. Father, we're going to take the boat out one more time for the one more soul until we can get everyone, until you say, the night is far spent. Till you say, Lord, the time is coming, the night is coming, when man can work no more. Until you call us home. But until then, Lord, we're going to occupy till you come. And we're going to show this dark world what it's like to fearlessly walk in the light. I'm not ashamed of my deeds, Lord. I want them to be shown. I want them to be reproved. I want them to see my heart. And when it's all said and done, you get the glory. We praise you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And amen.